Welcome everyone to the Carolina Outdoors, where each week we come in and break down four different segments for your listening pleasure. And hopefully somewhere along the way, you will be inspired to maybe get outside your comfort zone, maybe take a walk around the neighborhood the opposite way that you normally take. Maybe this summer you'll be intrigued to take up the sport of fly fishing, one of those bucket list sports that you always wanted to do. That's what we're here for on the Carolina Outdoors. The other thing that we like to do each week is maybe shine a light on a sport or a person that is interesting that we think that you should know about and will learn about. And that's what we're going to do on this segment of the Carolina Outdoors. We're going to talk a little bit about a sport that's ancient. It was used to go diving in ancient Greece. It was used in military maneuvers. It is the sport of free diving. And many of you are asking yourself, what is free diving? Is that like scuba diving? It is almost like scuba diving, except you do not have the aid of oxygen. So no tanks, no massive amount of bubbles, none of that. But it's a very dangerous sport as well. Over 50 people per year die doing this sport. So why do you do it? That's what we're going to learn about right now, because we're going to bring on Waterman Survival founder and owner Joe Sheridan to the program. Joe, welcome.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me today, Bill.
It's fantastic to have you, but let me bring that question up. Did I get that right on the introduction anyway? Free diving, going deep without air?
Right. Free diving is breath hold training. It's where you basically use one breath to make your way to depth, or also training in the pool, or different types of variations of breath hold training, whether it relates to free diving or being held down from surfing, different aspects like that.
So I introduced it as a danger sport, and maybe that's an injustice to the sport, but it is true. Over 50 people per year die doing it, going deep. What is the allure of the sport?
The allure of the sport is the freedom, the pureness of it, the no aid of a tank. You know, free diving is used for a lot of different aspects. A lot of people spearfish. A lot of people do line dive training. There's competitive free diving. To be able to explore underwater on a single breath and do it in a safe and comfortable way, you can really connect with the underwater world in a way that's you know, a little bit different than just wearing a tank. You know, scuba diving is a wonderful sport as well. But the nice thing about freediving is it's minimalist and it's pure. And a lot of things that you can see underwater freediving, you may not necessarily always see while you're scuba diving.
So talk to us a little bit about that. What do you get to see freediving underwater, for instance, off the Carolina coast? Now, that's the Atlantic, so we have a lot of disturbance and that sort of thing oftentimes, but is the Atlantic a good place to go off the coast of the Carolinas?
It's a great question, and it absolutely is. As a matter of fact, in Wilmington, Wrightsville Beach, which is where I'm based out of half the year, it's got a tremendous freediving community. We have several instructors there. It's a community that's really invested in their safety. You know, being offshore in North Carolina is not necessarily like being offshore in the Bahamas. It's a little bit different environment. We have conditions, whether it be swell or current or maybe low vis, you know, it's not always perfect clear vis there. But the reality is just having a better understanding of being in the open ocean while on a breath, managing the training by never diving alone, being properly trained before you do it, and just respecting the fact that it can be unsafe if you don't really know what you're doing.
Well, that's where you come in. That's where Waterman Survival comes in, because that's what you do, is help people go a little bit deeper and a whole lot longer underwater so that they can be safe and enjoy the serenity, the calm, the being deep, and seeing the things that you can see underwater, whether it be here, or you do a lot of work in the Caribbean as well.
That's right. I cater mostly to Puerto Rico and Panama. We work with a lot of the surfing community. We work with a lot of the military, Coast Guard, rescue swimmers. work with a lot of various athletes that are in extreme conditions, and where it's not always necessarily freediving specific based. The theory behind breath hold training and holding your breath underwater, we talk about the changes that occur within your body so that you can better understand how your body feels when you deal with higher levels of hypoxia. You know, hypoxia is a low level of oxygen, and when it gets too great, your body can get to a point where you have a lost motor control, a blackout. So without proper training and not really understanding your body or that of others, recognizing some signs that you would witness by being trained, it can be unsafe, but it can also be very rewarding. So if you are a surfer or a paddler or a spear fisherman, or you just want to get into our sport for snorkeling with your family, having that understanding of the safety aspect will just make it so much more enjoyable because you know where your limits are.
Hey, will you talk to us a little bit about that, the physiological part of it, the what happens with your body and the precautions that you take? I know pressure, whether you go way up high at altitude, of course, lack of oxygen and lack of atmospheric pressure affects you. The same happens when you're going deep underwater, just differently. But tell me and our listeners out there in the Carolina outdoors world what you can do to fight those effects off.
Well, it's a two-part process. So one, understanding when you're on a breath underwater, your body goes through some changes. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to trigger the mammalian diving reflex. We all were born with it. It's part of our genetic code. We just need to learn how to trigger it and how to manage it safely. So holding your breath is it's good for any athlete. It's good for anyone to know, but there's a window of safeness. And in the training that we provide, what we do is we help people see what their threshold is in a safe way.
Now I have to ask you a question before I lose it.
Sure.
What was that code? Oh my goodness. You have to educate me on that.
The mammalian dive reflex?
Yes.
Part of our genetic code.
So it's in our DNA.
That's right. We were born with it. Whether you want to believe it or not, when you learn how to trigger that reflex, what we're doing is we're reminding the body that it's time to hold our breath. And there's a couple ways we can do that. We can put cool water on our face, basically where we would wear a mask. That helps trigger the reflex. Also, the compression, the hydrostatic pressure around where our lungs are, when that feels pressure, that's another way that triggers the reflex. When we do short breath holds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, you know, two or three in a row, that helps trigger the reflex. And what it's doing is it's changing your body. Your body is actually realizing it's time to hold our breath now, and your body prepares itself. So in the event of an emergency, let's just say in surfing, big wave surfing, if an athlete is held down too long and they get that very uncomfortable urge to breathe, it's that high level of CO2 that's building up that's causing them to have that really strong urge to breathe. Even though it feels like they're out of air, it's just that buildup of CO2. But if they push it to a certain point where they're just not physically able to come up for whatever reason, their body's actually going to take care of them. Because when the reflex kicks in the event of a blackout, and if the victim does black out, their epiglottis closes and they go unconscious, but they're not drowning. Okay, so in a blackout, most blackouts, they're not indefinite, but they can last anywhere from 4 to 6 minutes. All right, so 4 to 6 minutes with a buddy right there that can get your airway out of the water and clear for air exchange, you're coming right back too. But 4 to 6 minutes and you don't have a buddy, which is why we never dive alone, 4 to 6 minutes isn't enough time. And when the last O2 stores have depleted our body, the victim goes into a terminal gasp, which was a final inhalation. And if the airway is submerged under the water, that's when they inhale water, and then that's when they start to drown. So just little understandings about that. We all have it. It's within us. We just need to know how to use it so that we can stay safe, so we can educate others to be safe. We can really make things much more enjoyable and keep everybody alive doing what we love.
The voice right there is Joe Sheridan with Waterman Survival. We're talking free diving here on the Carolina Outdoors. I'm Bill Barty, and we're learning a whole lot about that. And you bringing that up, this is different because it's not underwater, but it helps me make comparisons. And this is going to lead into the people that you teach free diving to. But it comes to a lot of people who may be afraid of heights utilize the sport of climbing. Now, they are guided and learn proper the fundamentals and the foundation of the sport so that they can take on their fears of heights through climbing. But you also are wearing safety precautions too. You have a rope, you have harness, you have shoes, chalks, things like that. And you also oftentimes have partners to help out there with that, to keep it safe. What are your clients? You mentioned we have spearfishing, we have military, we have big wave surfers. Do you have people who are afraid of water or are trying to overcome some other fear that is water related?
Sure. I'm really glad you asked that question, Bill, because over the last 8 years, running courses both here in North Carolina, Puerto Rico, Panama, Florida, we do have a large mix of surfers and spearfishermen. It's a large mix. But in the last few years, we've had a lot of people that really are just curious about being in the water. Maybe they're a little bit of they have a little bit of a fear factor for being in the open ocean. Maybe they're afraid of sharks. We have some people that come that they're claustrophobic. We have some people come honestly that they're depressed and they really don't know any other way to relax other than through this meditative like training, which is what breath hold training is. So over the last couple of years, it's been really special because we'll have a class that has a mix of sailors, surfers, spearfishermen, tourists, folks that just have some type of fear. And the reality is, in this class, even though we're learning how to free dive, we're learning how to be safe, we're learning how to hold our breath, we are taking all those human beings to their edge where they're going to be in a point where they're uncomfortable. And the only way to get through that is to relax and trust. And a lot of people don't trust these days. So by relaxing and trusting, when they accomplish some of the things they accomplish in the course, they just, you know, apply that to their life. And it's rewarding for me. You know, it's special at the end of the course for someone to just give me a big old hug and say, you know what, I'm not afraid anymore. And I did learn a new skill, but I know how I can apply this to my life. And in a time like we all live in right now, which is very uncertain for many, right? And we can't control a lot of things. One of the best things about the course now is we teach people that we can't control everything. You can't control it all. But one thing we can control is we control how we handle, the outcome of the situation. What are we going to do that we can control to make it better?
Wow. So the sense of accomplishment, the therapy, if you will. Joe Sheridan is our guest here on the Carolina Outdoors. We're the outdoor guys from Jesse Brown's, and we hope that you're enjoying this. Hey, Joe, how did you get into free diving? How did you start?
Sure. Always been connected to the water. My folks were always adamant about keeping my brother and I in the water. I got into spearfishing about 15, 16 years ago, right out of Wrightsville Beach with a bunch of buddies from Wilmington, Wrightsville Beach. And a few of the guys had taken a freediving course. And, you know, these two guys were making it look like clockwork. They were super efficient. They looked like they were born to do that. And back then there weren't as many classes available and they were very expensive, but there was something about this sport. I was really connected with it. So I kind of just bit the bullet, paid the money, flew down to Florida, took a freediving class. And within a matter of a weekend, I went from an average freediver, you know, freediving 35, 40 feet to diving to over 100 feet. And then I went from holding my breath for a minute, minute and a half to holding my breath for over 5.5 minutes. And I was just a student in the class. And I'll never forget how those instructors, you know, really just showed me what I could do. I did it, but they showed me how to do it, and they just changed my mindset. And that just set a whole new course, and later became an instructor, and just really enjoy sharing the information. I love it. My favorite thing to do is hold my breath and be underwater.
Well, you mentioned something there. I'm going to have to delve deeper into that with you a little bit. You said minutes, as in plural. So we left that part out of free diving. Is you're going deep, you don't have oxygen, and it involves holding your breath, for lack of a better way to say it, for minutes at a time. So I remember this, and also for everyone out there, Joe is one of our alums from Storyteller Night. So this story has been told on the Storyteller stage at Jesse Brown's. How long can you hold your breath? And then after you answer that, how long can you teach other people to hold their breath?
Sure. You know, my best ever, which was years ago, which is very, I guess, average at best for competitors, but I've held my breath clean for 6:15. I've held it a little bit longer during a competition, but I had a loss of motor control, so that doesn't count. But that happens in a lot of competitions because people are kind of going for the best they can do, and it's very controlled environment. There's safeties everywhere. If there was ever a place to do it, it's there. It's not something you would want to do if you don't have professional staff around. You never want to do that without anyone around. But you know, we always tell people always say, you know, how long can I hold my breath? And I would say that over the last 8 years, the average breath hold for our students on day one is 3 minutes. That's the average. And a lot of people look at me with this surprised look in their eyes. They're like, well, that doesn't even seem possible. And it is very attainable. And again, when that reflex kicks in and we do a very short breath hold to start to show the students that, hey, we just held our breath for a minute. And we tell everybody, you just did a minute. And they're like, wow, that really wasn't that bad. And I'm like, I know. That's because your reflex is kicking in right now. And your body is starting to adapt for the longer breath hold. You're actually preparing your body. So when they start to get a little taste of confidence, and then we go into the next breath hold, 2 minutes, and most of the students do that, they're like, wow, you just held your breath for 2 minutes. They're like, I can't believe that. I didn't even get an urge to breathe. I was like, that's right. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but the third breath hold is actually going to be easier, even though it's longer. It's kind of like when you're maybe working out, you know, in the first few minutes of working out, you're kind of getting warmed up, and then all of a sudden you get your groove, or you get that runner's high later in the run. It's kind of similar in that breath hold training because your body is now adapting and it's become more comfortable with 1 minute or 2 minute or beyond. And it becomes more natural. So I think it's a real wake up call for a lot of people.
You know, with all of that, now may be a good time to bring up not to try this at home.
No, absolutely not. You're right. I really appreciate you saying this. So from a safety standpoint, especially with everybody at home, pools are closed, people want to do things at home, breath hold training should never be done without supervision of a properly trained body. It definitely is a dangerous sport when people just neglect it thinking it's not going to affect them. The reality is what we share in the courses, no matter how tough you are, how strong you are, no matter what it is, when your body becomes so hypoxic, you do not have a say in your consciousness. It's not your choice, it's your body's choice. And it's kind of like the same reason we wear a seatbelt, right? We're driving around, we never know when it's going to happen, but we wear a seatbelt. It's a similar aspect in breath hold training. You never know when it's going to, some days are better than others. So, you know, for myself, if I don't have a trained buddy, you know, I'll just do push-ups, I'll go for a jog, you know, I'll swim laps in the pool. But if I don't have that buddy that can take care of me, if they understand the signs and symptoms of hypoxia to protect me, then I just don't do it. I respect it. So I think that's the biggest thing from the class. Once people take the class and they have a better understanding of the safety aspect, they respect it and they become ambassadors of our sport, promoting safety in the sport of breath hold training, free dive training.
All right. Can you stay with me for 10 more minutes?
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back on the other side for segment two. We're talking to the Waterman himself with Waterman Survival, Joe Sheridan, on the Carolina Outdoors.